Well, good day and welcome everyone to our sixth session on In His Presence. Again, I want to thank you for spending time with us. What an honor it is to be able to share with you the things the Lord is instructing me, and a lot of times it's for me and I can turn around and share it with you. And I think this series is certainly fits that category, that description. Today we're going to be talking about called to reign, and I'll talk more about that title in just a moment. But let's go and review last week, because we kind of wrapped up talking about drawing near to our Father and what that does for us in terms of discovering our purpose. Now, we've seen from Mark 1:11 where the Lord spoke this phrase to Jesus, "You are my beloved Son." And we know we've had through His redemptive work on the cross and resurrection, through His shed blood, we focused last week on that phrase. We then talked about drawing near to God from James 4:8, where it says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." And it's in this position where we see ourselves and really get focused in on the fact that we are a son of the living God. And it's where intimacy begins, as we've seen also. We also talked about and stressed the importance during this time, spending the time you have, but being focused on Him, of listening, maybe just sitting quietly to hear what He has to say to us. And we saw that it's what Jesus did on the worst night of His life. And look at what Mark 14:36 tells us He was saying. "Abba, Father, all things are possible with You. If it's possible to remove this cup, but not my will, but Thine." And I'm paraphrasing a bit. But that Abba, Father, or Abba, Father, calling Him Daddy, that term that is an endearing term of a son or daughter to a father, is what we really focused on. And then we saw that it was not only for Jesus, but we saw a couple of scriptures that tells us it's for us. Romans 8:15 says that we have not received a spirit of slavery to fear as we approach God, but we received a spirit of adoption, being brought in the family as a mature one, by which we cry out, "Abba, Father." So we too are able to call on our Abba in times of need, and I would also say in times of worship, and again, in just times of fellowshipping with Him. A second testimony to that is in Galatians 4:6, where it says, "And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So we need to recognize that this is ours today. It is a completed act. But we have to learn who we are, and we're going to continue more of that today. But as we learn that, and as we're intimate with the Father, if we spend that close time, then what? Then we see that we are the beloved Son, and we can call Him back with that beloved term of Abba as well. But I made an important comment just then, and I want to amplify it. We need to recognize and be able to act upon what is already ours. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, "God is faithful." Now just think about it. He's faithful to His word, to His love for us, to what He promised His Son He would do, through whom we were called into fellowship. So how are we called into fellowship? Through our Lord Jesus and God's faithfulness. And it goes on to say, "with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." So this tells us that we've been called into an intimate relationship with Jesus. And if we're in that relationship with the Father, then we look at Jesus as our elder brother, one who we adore, one who we highly esteem, we revere. Galatians 3:27 affirms that for us. It says, and this is the Amplified version, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ accepted Him as our Lord and Savior," and it's not referring directly, but baptized, being laid under the water, raised up, coming out of the water, life with Him. But listen to how the Amplified describes this relationship that we've been baptized into. A spiritual union and communion, same word for fellowship, with Him, the Anointed One, the Messiah, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, and we've put on our clothes, we've clothed ourselves with Him. So we're fully engaged with Him. We're a part of Him. We're in that tight union with Him. And it's when we understand this accomplished fact that we can begin to see His plan, His purpose for our life, where we relate to Him with confidence and with a reverence or a revering of who He is and who He is also in our life. Now, we can't draw close if we don't have this reverence or awe, because we're going to be fearful. But in reverence and awe, we do begin to see ourselves. And that is because this perfect love that we're beginning to understand as we move close to Him cast out all fear. And what do we do as a result? Draw near to Him as Daddy, as our Abba. Now today I mentioned we're going to be talking about called to reign. But I really want to emphasize this word called. We'll talk about how this happened and what we do in it and how we reign next week. But today I just want to call to remember some things about us being called to reign. Already called. All of us. Not one or the other, but all of us. And I want to start with 2 Peter 1:13, because I know many of you have heard this talk. But I like what Peter says here, and this is in New King James. He says, "Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, this physical body, to stir you up by reminding you." And that's what I want us to do today as we begin to talking about in these couple of weeks. Ruling and reigning on this earth, that we've been called to this. So we're moving from presence and purpose to this calling for each of us. And again, just like we've seen in previous weeks, this is a progressive element in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He," talking about the Father, "made Him," Jesus, "who knew no sin," sin. Now the words "to be" in there are italicized, and so it just literally says, yes, He was made to be sin, but He made Him sin. It was implanted in Jesus, and He did so on our behalf. Why? That we might be made or become the righteousness of God, not of ourselves, but of righteousness of God in this union with Jesus. In Him. And this being made righteous is a completed act. You will never be more righteous than you are today. So I want you to see, in this discussion today, we're not talking about making ourselves more righteous. This is who you are in this union with Christ Jesus. And so it's our starting point that our spirit man is complete. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, joined together with our spirit as one spirit. And so as we start with this, with our starting point, then what we see we need to work on is not working to become more righteous, but doing what? Becoming focused that what is being transformed is our thinking and our fleshly desires. So our soul and our mind needs to be what's transformed if we're going to gain control of this flesh and not let it dominate us. And that's what we need to be walking in. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And I've got some things I want to talk about in phrases, so let me read the entire verse and we'll come back to it. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit," the one that we're in union with. But let's go back and see what He's saying to us here. And it starts out, "we all." So this is who we all are to be. And we're doing it with our face not veiled like Moses' face was veiled. We're doing it clear-eyed, if I can say it that way. And we're beholding in a mirror, as in a mirror, the glory of God. Now, this can be in His written word. It can be in your presence with Him, in your time with Him. But the word plays a primary role in this. And what does it say? We are being transformed. Metamorpho, it's a major transformation as a butterfly comes out of the cocoon where a worm went in. This is a major transformation. And it, I want you to notice this phrase too. Into the same image. As who? As our Lord Jesus, our brother, who is His image was that of the Father. So we are beginning to take on, we can be transformed and take on the image as we see ourselves of our Father, being made in this same image. And it says from glory to glory. So that says what? That it's a progressive thing for us. Again, we see that over and over. And it's just as from the Lord, the Spirit. And so it's becoming this way as we see ourselves in Him. Now, Romans 4:12, New King James says, and the Father of circumcision to those who are not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while yet still uncircumcised. So let's go through this one. So it brings up the father of circumcision, which is Abraham, and it's not just for those who were of the circumcision, it's for the uncircumcision, which is us who have now been circumcised in our spirit man. We are being transformed. We are being changed so that we can walk in the steps of the faith our father Abraham had even when he was uncircumcised. So let's back up to Abraham. Genesis 15 says he believed what the Lord was saying. That's faith. That's what we need to be doing. And we need to be doing it concerning ourselves so that we can walk in the steps, progressive, of the faith that our father Abraham had. And we need to remember he did this without the Spirit. He chose to believe. And that's why I say believing, having faith, is a choice that we make. Now, walking in the steps, here it's plural, but a lot of times we want to just take a big leap and do a long jump into this perfected mode. This tells us that we're going to have to walk in steps to get to the point where we believe as our father Abraham did. But I want you to remember, a little bit of faith goes a long way, that mustard seed faith. Psalm 37:23 really emphasizes this. New King James says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, talking about the Father, delights in his way. Now, let's go back and break this down. When it talks about of a good man, let's say of a righteous man, of a man who receives instruction from the Lord, the steps that we ought to be taking are ordered or set forth before time by the Lord. And so we need to understand that He has a plan for our life that He's always had. And again, this is a part that is for all of us, but we're talking about what? Being able to walk in these steps of faith like Abraham did. And then it says, and he delights in his way. He, the Father, delights in the man's way, in your way. But do you see in reading this that the steps are ordered? We get them revealed to us in these intimate times with Him, in these personal times, as we get revelation of the Word, as we see who we are in this union we have. And then it says, He delights in His way. And I think it's important that we see He delights in our way as we walk in the steps He ordered. Now, He's not going to punish us if we get out of His way, which we all have done, but He's provided repentance to come back to it. But we need to see ourselves as the Lord delights in us as we spend time with Him, as we begin to see whom we are. And again, I go back to this word steps in this verse 2. It's plural. It indicates a process. And as we see who we are, then that's when we're changed from glory to glory. And that is very pleasing, or the Lord delights in us. We need to understand truly how He delights in us. Now, let's just stop one more time and talk about this. It's important that we see ourselves, who we are in Him. I've said that. And it's a step-by-step process. You know, for the most part, there's an exception, several exceptions to this, but for the most part, someone who is young, say a high school kid, and he plays golf, and he's very good. He's in the elite category of golfers in high school. Yet he doesn't jump straight to the pros. Many times he'll go to college. So there's a development step that he takes. Out of college, they have to qualify to play and be categorized as a pro. And there are several jumps before you finally get to be a pro player. Same's true in baseball. They have an A league, a double A, and a triple A, and then the next is a Major League Baseball player. But each time you progress, you're taking another step toward being that player that you want to be. And can I tell you the main thing that is required in order to do that? Yes, talent's required. But you've got to see yourself as belonging there. You won't find any successful Major League Baseball players or pro golfers, or any sport for that matter, who are in that sport playing it at that level, who don't see themselves as belonging. And that's what the Father is trying to tell us here. He's ordered our steps. He's pleased when we follow those steps, those directions that He gives us. And again, the Word plays an important point or perspective with that. So let go with me to Psalm 119, a psalm concerning the Word of God. And I want to read verse 105 to you. Again, we just cannot say, okay, I'm all focused on the Spirit, no more than we can say I'm all focused on the Word, because the Word without the Spirit won't be revelation to you. But I've heard people say, I've gone beyond the Word. No, you're in error if you've gone beyond the Word. I'm just being blunt with that. But look at what this says. Your Word, the psalmist writes, talking about the written Word of God, what the Holy Spirit has recorded, His thoughts on life for us, what He was going to do for us, now what He's done for us. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, we focus on Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But what are our feet doing? One step at a time, progressively, continually growing in Him. And you know, I like to say it, and I think it's true. I've said it to young athletes before, and even to a couple of my grandsons who are playing ball. You can't be satisfied where you are today. And that's true of us in a Christian life. To me, it's like if we're not progressing, we're digressing. Why do I say we're digressing? Because others in sporting world are coming right back trying to take our place. So we've got to continually be learning who we are, how we live, how you play the game. And for us, it's by His Word instructing us as His Word orders our steps and becomes a light for our feet to take us steps on the path He's put us on. So a process of growing. And the same is true of learning to reign in life, that which we are called to. And we'll show you through these three verses. So the three verses I want to go through is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we start at the end here, and we'll jump around, everything we have is what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the union that we have. where we've been made righteous. And so we're building on this precept upon precept. And who should we be thankful for? Should we be thankful that we ourselves have been able to accomplish this? No. We need to be thankful to God, because these next two words after God and the comma are what? Who gives? It's nothing we've earned. It's all a free gift. It is His grace, His favor bestowed upon us in the victory. Now, what victory is that? It's the victory that Jesus had through His death, the shed blood, and His resurrection. So it's our victory that we're given through the Lord Jesus, and we didn't earn it. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, because we don't fight that battle. We enforce. We're told to occupy on this earth, so we have work to do, and it will involve us acting in our authority, which we'll get to a little later. Now, the second one then I want to build on with this is Romans 8:37. It says, yet in all these things we've been talking about, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. So again, it's all through Jesus. And where did it start? Because of His great love that He gave of Himself, submitted to death, was raised up. And now what? We've been raised up with Him and seated with Him in the heavenly places. And it says that now we are more than a conqueror. Now, when we say that, then we know we're benefiting from something that came through Jesus' death, as He was the conqueror. He did away with death, spiritual death. But what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Well, you can take that, and I'll go back to athletics again. Whether it's in football and you win the world championship, or baseball and you win the World Series, or golf and you win the Masters and try to win more of the Grand Slams, or a boxer who takes the punishment in the ring but wins over his opponent. And what I want to tell you is that we are more akin to what the little brother will get, or what a wife might get. The wife did not fight the battle. We as a little brother did not fight the battles. But the family benefits because of what the head did, because of what Jesus did. We don't have to fight the battle to conquer. We enforce the conquering. But for a boxer and his wife, she gets to write checks and draw on that victory more, just as much as he does. So she really is more than a conqueror. She's someone is who benefits from it without doing all the detail work, all the sacrifice that had to be made. Then what does this lead to then? In Romans 5:17, so I'm building on this, and this will be the third and the key one. For if by the transgression of one, death reigned. Now let's just stop there. Who's it talking about? Adam's sin. Not Eve's being deceived, but Adam's willful sinning against the Father. And what happened? Death reigned through that one, through the first Adam. And then it says, much more those who receive the abundance of grace, that's what we've been talking about, those who are able to be more than a conqueror because of what Jesus did, and this gift of righteousness, which put us in union, put us as joint heirs with Jesus. Look what it says in this last phrase. Will reign in life. Now let's answer the question of how, and we'll come back to this. Will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. So it's in our union with Him after being made righteous that we are reigning in life. Now, what does this word reign indicate what picture does it paint? It's the exercise, I would say, of royal authority. Now, you've been made priest. We know that. We've talked about it. But we've also been made kings. So kings and priests. And what do kings do? They rule. And we'll be talking about how that happens. It's by speaking or issuing decrees. But this rule I want you to see really takes us back to the word in Genesis 1, where it says we're to have dominion over this earth, not over each other, but over this earth. So what this is talking about is reigning in life is to be king or to become a king over what? Over this earth, over all, everything except people, over the darkness that's in it. That is beginning to paint a picture then of how we occupy, not by fighting and contending in the physical sense at all, but by doing so in the spirit realm. And what do we all know? That spirit realm will manifest things in this physical realm. Again, restoring man back to what he had in the garden where he said, have dominion in Genesis 1:26. Now, the reason I've gone through all this today is because Proverbs 23, verse 7, has this phrase in it, as a man thinks, so he is. If you see yourself as an unworthy worm or as an old sinner, and you can even add, I see myself as an old sinner saved by grace, then you are not going to be in a position to see yourself as more than a conqueror or even come close to one who sees themselves as reigning in life. We must see ourselves in this light, in this revelation of who we are, who we have been made to be in this union we have with Him, in this union where we are told we are to reign in life. Now, it's through love, not fear, that we're obedient. So again, it all goes back to His love. But we're seeing who we are in Him and what we have in Him. And this is so, so important that we understand this. And reigning, we'll look at some examples, but reigning really means to have that dominion over or to put things in their correct place as viewed by our King, the Lord Jesus. So we got to go back and understand this is starts with the work of the cross. It ends with His resurrection. And we see that in Romans 4:25. So we'll close with this scripture. He who was delivered up, he who was given up to be punished and delivered up to the cross and crucified on that cross because of our transgressions. And he was raised because of our justification. So he took our sins, and in doing so, he justified us. We received the justification that the law gets because punishment was meted and Jesus took it so that we didn't have to. So I want you to see sins are plural, or transgressions here is plural. But I'm not just talking about sins, but the major thing that we're talking about here is about believing in Jesus. Committing a sin is not what's going to send you to the place where we don't want to go, to hell. What sends people to sin is not receiving Jesus, not seeing and responding to the too good to be true gospel that we hear concerning what He's done that we're talking about. And we must see that all of our past and even present sins and what we will do have been covered by the blood. Justice has been meted. It's been satisfied. The courts of heaven have said concerning us, not guilty. We've been made righteous. We've been placed in a union with Him. We've been made more than conquerors. And then we're also what? All these victories we receive, but we must see ourselves as being made able to rule, and I'll say reign, in this earth today, all through the cross and resurrection. Now, next week, we'll begin talking more about reigning in life as we go through Romans 5. But I want to leave this thought with you. When BJ and I moved to Macon, I've said this to before in some teachings, but it's been quite a while. after the Lord told us to move and we acted on it very quickly, our house didn't sell. And we had to begin to see our house sold in order for us to move until the Lord changed that view. And we begin to see things as He did. There's a song that really became our anthem called Heaven on Earth. It was by David and Nicole Binion. If you want to listen to it, you can look it up on the internet. But there's a couple of phrases there that I want to give you. It says, Heaven is calling you to come higher. I believe that's what is happening with this teacher teaching. And then it says, to see everything from a new point of view. So to look at things concerning ourselves differently. And then it says where we're seated. We've already mentioned that once today. Seated in Jesus, with Jesus in heavenly places. And then here's the phrase that resonated so much with me. From His perspective, all things are made new. We have got to lay down the perspective with which we've approached life and maybe even continue to, and submit to His perspective and seeing things as He sees them. Meditate on that. Take time to look that song up if you can. If you need a link to it, if you'll email us on mintonwilliams.com, you can send me an email there or send it to info@mintonwilliams.com and we'll get you a link so that you can hear this song. Again, from His perspective, concerning you, all things are made new. Look forward to being with you next week.